to the Stay at Home Mom Yeah Right podcast. You are about to listen to my mom. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you like it, please give it 5 stars. Thank you.
Everyone, and welcome to the Stay at Home Mom Yeah Right podcast. I'm Sarah Smith, your host, and I'm so excited to be joined by Dorcas Pittman. She is a wife, a fellow stay at home mom of two, and author of the book Breaking the Silence: Christianity and Mental Illness. The book documents her childhood trauma and how it led to her battle with anxiety and depression. Welcome to my podcast, Dorcas.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for taking your time. I appreciate it. I know it's hard. You have two kids and you're staying at home, so it's hard to find the time.
Yes, they're occupied upstairs.
Oh, great. Great. How are you today?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, thanks. Good. It's a nice day. It's about to be a long weekend, so it's good.
Oh, yes, long weekend. My husband will be off work, so I'll have some mommy time.
Oh, good. What are your plans?
Quietness. Quiet.
That's so important. That's peace, right?
Yes. Yes. Go talk to your daddy. Daddy's home.
You know. It's funny how they'll just come to the mom.
Yes, and that's the thing. They'll pass right by daddy. And mom, I'm like, didn't you just pass by your daddy? He's your parent as well. Like, you see me every day. He's not here. He's at work. So just go and spend time with him. Like, go talk to him.
I totally get it. Or mom, can you do this? Dad's sitting over there. Please.
Oh, my God.
Go ask him.
And like, dad will be in the kitchen and I'll be in my room and he'll come, mommy, I'm hungry. Your dad is in the kitchen.
Right? Right?
But I'm hungry, mom. He's capable of giving you food as well. Mom, I hilarious. Want you.
Oh. Yeah, I get it. How has this pandemic been for you and your family?
It's been interesting. I went from working at home. I was working when the pandemic first started. So I was working at home with a five-year-old and two-year-old. And so my daughter turned 6 in July and my son turned 3 this past January. So due to COVID and some restructuring, I was released from my job. So it was very stressful when I was trying to work and be a parent. And you had two little ones who wanted your attention. But once I lost my job and became a full-time stay-at-home mom, that was an interesting transition for me. Because I'm used to doing, you know, having my me time, you know, mm-hmm. People say, you know, going to work is like your me time almost when you have kids. It's like you appreciate that time alone. So I went from just being a mom, like literally 24/7, mom, they're stir crazy. They want to go all these different places and trying to explain, you know, there's a virus, you know, mm-hmm. Here's COVID. You know, here's the coronavirus. And of course, my daughter, the oldest, she kind of understood, but it's been interesting, quite an adjustment. And at first, my son, he hated the mask. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, he hated the mask. And so once it was like the only way you can go to the store or go in the store, you have to wear your mask. And once he got the grasp of that, you know, he was, mommy, you got my mask.
Oh, now he likes it.
And so my daughter, she hated virtual school. We did virtual school this school year. She hated it. She wanted to see her friends, all these things. But now life is kind of getting somewhat back to normal. And so it's a little bit better for them and me mentally. So trying to find activities for everybody, for them to do. And yeah.
You have to be very creative.
It's very creative. You know, there's only so much painting, finger painting and things you can do. So we did projects like making a volcano and putting glue on your hands and my daughter and letting it dry and peeling it off, things I did as a kid, and playing hopscotch outside and sidewalk chalk and, you know, the things like that. So it's been interesting.
So you kind of became a stay-at-home mom by accident.
Mm-hmm. I never saw myself as a stay-at-home mom, but I had so much respect for those who, you know, were, you know, been stay-at-home moms. And so once I became that, I'm like, oh, gain a totally new level of respect for those who are always stay-at-home moms, because it's a challenge. I mean, that's a job in itself.
Yeah. 24 hours.
Literally 24 hours. There were times when my husband would come home from work and I would just get in my car and just drive around the city. Mm-hmm. I'll text him. I was like, look, it's been one of those days. And when he knows, when he comes in and I leave out, mommy needs to get.
Yeah.
So I just drive in circles around the city. In quiet, just quiet, and just drive just to get a mental break from being a mom.
Right. Now you're a new author.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what does breaking the silence mean to you?
Breaking the silence is basically walking in your truth and really being transparent with not only yourself, but the world in regards to what you're going through. You know, with me, I kept so much hidden, like my childhood trauma, even, you know, being sexually assaulted in college, all those things I kept to myself, the internal mental battles that I was having, even the, you know, the anxiety and depression that came after I had my son in 2018. And so I kept everything to myself. And so I was silent about it all and just saying, OK, I can deal with this. I can deal with this, to the point where I couldn't deal with it anymore. And, you know, I was pretty much on the verge of committing suicide with my kids playing in the yard. And so that's what breaking the silence is to me. You know, it's OK to tell your story. You know, I read a quote one day. It said, one day your story will be someone else's survival guide. And so it was very important for me to step outside of my comfort zone, because I know how close I came to taking my own life. You know, at one point my kids were enough for me to fight. They were enough for me to just keep going. But at that point, my kids weren't enough anymore. And I know people, you know, moms who've committed suicide, and I hear stories, well, you know, she had her kids, that should have been enough for her. And that's why it is so important for moms to take the time for their mental health. That self-care is so important, because I got to a point where I wasn't a good mom because I wasn't taking care of myself. And so because I was completely empty and my mental health was, I mean, it was pretty much horrible. I couldn't be the mom that my children needed me to be. And so it started affecting, you know, I didn't want to leave the house, and I would try to push myself to, you know, take them places, to birthday parties. And, you know, they couldn't understand why all of a sudden we had to leave because I'm on the verge of a panic attack. And not being able to explain that to them. So it came a point where I felt as if they were better off without me. And I understand now what those moms, you know, were kind of thinking at that point in their lives where, you know, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I have nothing left to give, not even the children that I brought into this world. And so, me checking myself into the hospital, literally the day my daughter graduated from pre-K.
So you knew that you had to get the help.
I knew I needed to get the help because, yes, that day, you know, it was supposed to be this happy day, and it took everything I had to get through that day. I mean, it was such a struggle and trying to put on that brave face and trying to, you know, smile through it all. And that night I went to my husband. I was like, babe, something isn't right. I have to get help. And that was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make because it meant being away from my kids.
Right.
I couldn't tell my daughter to this day. She still thinks that mommy was on a girl's trip. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they take your phone away. It's like, you know, I've never been to jail, but it's kind of like being in jail because everything is on a schedule. You know, there's no privacy. There's nothing. And the first day, almost 2 days, I literally cried. I couldn't even talk to my kids because I cried every time I heard their voice because I was away from them. But I knew I had to be away from them in order to get the help that I needed to be there for them. And that's why I was like, that is the hardest decision I've ever had to make. And my daughter was like, mommy, the next time you go on a girl's trip, can you not stay so long? Can you call me more?
Oh.
And, you know, you had certain phone times. You know, you can only, the phones were cut out only on for a certain number of hours. And so you were on that schedule, but, you know, that like, oh my God, it broke my heart. But in the same, you know, same sense, I was glad that I did that for myself so that I can be better for me, so that I can be a better mom. I can be a better wife. I can Absolutely. Be the mom that they deserve.
Absolutely. Amen. How did you know it was time to tell your story?
You know, because it was a part of my healing process to tell my story. And one thing I talk about the book is chapter one is acknowledgement and acceptance, because you have to acknowledge what happened to you and your struggles, and you have to accept that you acknowledge those things. And when I was in the hospital, there weren't any distractions. And it's funny because I was like, prior to that, I told my husband, like, I need to get away. I need to get away. I need to reset. I need to reset with, you know, with God and everything. And, you know, I got away, just not the vacation I wanted, but there weren't any distractions. And I was able to really meditate on my next steps and really spend time with God. And, you know, that was an assignment that he gave me, that you have to tell your story because you spent 33 years trapped because you were afraid to, you were ashamed of everything that you were going through. There was the pride, you know, dealing with mommy issues and, you know, growing up with self-worth issues and not knowing my self-worth and thinking that I wasn't worthy. And if I told anybody what I went through or the struggles that I was having, I would seem even less worthy of being in someone's life. Mm-hmm. And so seeing where I was, I knew that there are so many other people, especially moms, suffering in silence, because we're told we have to be strong, we have to be brave, we have to push through. And I didn't want anyone else to get to that point where I was and take their life, because they feel as if they're alone in this fight. They're alone in this fight, and you're not alone. And so that's what breaking the silence is all about, bringing other people along on my journey of healing, because it's an ongoing process. I'm still healing. It's like an onion. There's layers to the healing process. You know, with me, it was a struggle. It was a fight. I mean, it was, yes, because you have to come face to face with everything that you've held in for so long. And so that's what it was about. I wanted to, you know, be that light to somebody else and to let them know it's okay. It's okay to be where you are, but there is hope. You don't have to remain in that place and just know that, hey, I'm here. I'm one of those people. I tell my story because this is everything that I've gone through. And if I can go through all that and be able to heal, then you can too. And so, you know, everything, mommy issues, molestation, daddy issues, you know, sexual assault, self-worth issues, self-esteem issues, you name it, that was me. Depression, anxiety, and it was postpartum depression. So this was a, you know, the anxiety was one thing, but you partner anxiety and depression together, that is a force to be reckoned with. And you cannot deal with that on your own, especially trying to be, and I was working full time. So a full time working mom, I was a wife, you know, mom of two, there was no time left for me.
Right.
And so that was it. I knew that I had to get help.
That's amazing that you were able to seek that on your own. How did your family deal with you telling your story?
My dad's side of the family, they were okay with it. It was more so my mom's side of the family. When the book came out, because my mom left when I was two and she left me with her parents. And so I grew up around my mom's side of the family. And because a lot of stuff I didn't tell people, they didn't take it very well. Your childhood was not like that. And how could you, talk about your parents like this? And I would never, you know, throw my parents under the bus or anything like that. And they didn't take it very well. And I call Iyola Van Zandt my auntie, but she doesn't know it. And I hold on to her statement, just because your reality is not their reality, it does not negate your reality. Because you could be in the same room with somebody and, you know, see the same thing. Their experience and your experience can be two totally different things, but it doesn't negate what you experience, and it doesn't negate what they experience. And so, you know, when she said that, that was something I held on to. And so that was a big part of me accepting my reality, because I thought it was crazy. Like at one point I was like, okay, am I making this stuff up? But it was me trying to justify that, okay, you know, not my self-worth, like, okay,
right,
maybe I'm not worthy, maybe, you know, trying to make myself something or make a reality of things being good when they weren't.
Right.
Because I already felt like I was damaged goods based on, you know, my upbringing and everything that that happened to me. And so I didn't want to be damaged outwardly, show people that I was damaged, because I've already felt like I was, you know, I didn't have a purpose, you know, I wasn't worthy of anything. So if people knew my story, then they would really see that I was truly damaged and they really wouldn't want to be around me. And it wasn't until I, you know, got out the hospital, I got on my meds and I started going to therapy and really working through those issues. And I remember one day I was talking to my therapist in her office and I stopped and she was like, "What was that?" I said, "I finally realized that I am worthy. I am worthy of the life that God has given me. I am worthy of happiness. I am worthy of love." I still get emotional when I think about that day, because for so many years I thought I was worthless. And in that day, I realized how worthy I am.
Praise God. Yes.
And that was that aha moment. And we were talking about something totally different. And I just stopped. And I just bask in that moment of realizing that I am worthy.
You are. Absolutely.
I am worthy. And my worth is not defined by the actions of others. My worth is not defined by my husband. My worth is not defined by my kids. My worth is defined by my Father, and that's my Father in heaven, because I am made in His image, and He didn't make any mess. He doesn't make mess. And in His eyes, I am perfectly imperfect. I am perfectly imperfected. And he doesn't see my flaws. He doesn't see my hurt. He doesn't see the me as damaged goods. He see me as His daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was in that moment where I just hold on to the moment I realized that I am so worthy of everything that God has for me.
And what a wonderful day that must have been for you.
Oh, I just, like, the rest of that session was just me. You know, she gave me the space to just bask in that moment. You know, we didn't talk about anything else. She just gave me that space to be.
Right.
And that was that, you know, that was a pivotal moment in my life.
Sure it was.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been able to forgive?
Yes. Oh, I talk about that in the book. Forgiveness is so key. You know, I was holding on to all of this hurt and what people did to me, and they were going, they were living their lives, and they weren't affected by it, but it was holding me hostage. And so I had to forgive. And once I really realized that forgiveness is not about the other person, forgiveness is what takes the shackles off. Once you forgive, the key to the cell, the cell is open. You're released from that prison of being held hostage by the pain that their actions, because your forgiveness unlocks the key to everything else. Because you're no longer holding that in. You're no longer holding that anger, that frustration, that resentment in your heart. Because as long as you hold that in your heart, there's no place for anything else.
Right.
And so I knew that was very pivotal in my healing process. And and the thing about it, it's like people say, you know, sometimes you think you have to go to the person and say, I forgive you. But writing was in my writing. I was able to say, I forgive you. I forgive you for it. And that's what you have, that acknowledgement and acceptance. You acknowledge what they did. You accept that, you acknowledge that, you accept how the effects of it, you accept how it affected your life. And so once you acknowledge it and you accept it, you're able to deal with it, and then dealing with it and addressing everything everything that person did affected you, and how that is you releasing it to the atmosphere.
Right,
you're releasing it and say, okay, this is no longer on me. This is on them. I will no longer carry the burden of their decision anymore. And forgiveness is releasing that burden back to them and saying, I've been affected by this for far too long. I didn't do this to me. You did this to me. And I will no longer allow your actions to keep me from living the life that God has ordained for me. So I have to forgive you in order to walk in my purpose, in order to walk in my God-given purpose, in order to be catapulted into my destiny. I can no longer allow your actions to affect me. I can only control me. I can only control what I do. I can only control how I feel. I control my happiness.
Right.
My happiness is not determined by anybody else. And that's what forgiveness is. It's taking your power back. Because when someone hurts you, when you're sexually assaulted or molested, when, you know, your parent, you feel as if your parent has abandoned you, it's like they take you hostage. They take your power. Mm-hmm. They take your power from you, because in that moment you feel so helpless. You feel powerless. And in that forgiveness and really working through everything that action caused, how it affected your life, how it affected the trajectory of the, you know, of your life and mm-hmm. the results of it. It's like, okay, I need to take my power back.
Yes.
They took my power away from me, and in them taking my power away from me, I was carrying what they did to me. Mm-hmm. They literally had me hostage. And so forgiveness is the key. It's the door. You know, when you forgive, that door that has been holding you hostage, it unlocks and you're able to just walk through it. And that is what forgiveness is. And, you know, people say, I can forgive them. You not forgiving them is you being in the way of what God has for you. Mm. It's staying in the way of your happiness. And no matter how much you want to put on a brave face and a smile, what they did, because you're constantly holding on to it, it's there. It's still there. Now, forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. Forgiveness is no longer allowing what happened to control you.
Yes.
And that's taking your power back. And so I had to realize that no one else is in control of my happiness. And that's what a lot of people, you know, well, I'm happy if my kids are happy. I'm happy if my husband's happy. No, you're happy when you are happy.
right. Exactly.
Your happiness is not determined. Yes, it makes you feel good, but you're happy when you're happy.
Right.
And that's the thing about it. It's like, and that it goes back to being a mom. You know, I'm happy when I'm happy. Everything else is good, because everyone knows when mom is in a mood, the whole house is turned upside down.
Yes, exactly.
It's like when mom is on a rampage, everybody's walking on eggs.
Don't let mom.
I mean, stay out of mommy's way. And so it's like I really control the atmosphere of my house. And if my house is going to be a home of peace, then I have mm-hmm. to be happy. Yes. And me being happy is me self-care, taking care of myself, putting myself first.
Yes.
It's not God, my husband, and my kids. No, it's God, me, my husband, my kids, and everything else that follows.
Yes.
And a lot of people have that out of order. A lot of moms have that out of order. So I tell my kids, look, it's mommy time. I love you. You guys have me all the time. Just go in your room, do something. I don't care. I'm sitting here and I'm going to read a book. Do not bother.
Yes. You have to do that for yourself.
Do not bother me. But mom, I don't want to play with you right now. And it's okay. No, I don't want to play
with
you.
Right. It's okay. They're not going to remember that for their life.
That's fine. I tell my daughter, it's like, okay, we went and got our nails done. We played with your dolls. We did this. Now it's mommy time. So go in your room and you can play by yourself. Go play with your brother. I don't care what you do. As long as no one is crying, no one is bleeding, no one is dying, mommy's going to have time for herself. Yeah. And I said, do not come and talk to me unless somebody's bleeding.
Absolutely. What would you say to a mom who's deciding whether or not to be a stay-at-home mom? And what would be like your message of hope to her?
Make sure that in being a stay-at-home mom, you don't get lost in the routine of taking care of everything else. Because, you know, that was one thing I had to adjust to. Well, I'm at home all day. My husband's working. He's tired. You know, I don't need any time for me. Well, being a stay-at-home mom is mentally taxing. Mm-hmm. It is mentally taxing. So you have to make sure that, one, your mental health is good, and two, that you have a you have a plan in place, or you have time set aside for you to take care of you, for you to reset, for you to refuel, and you have to make it clear to your spouse or that, hey, this does not, just because I'm a stay-at-home mom doesn't mean I don't need time for myself. And you have to make that clear from the beginning. I need time away from your kids. And sometimes I tell them, those are your kids right now. They're not mine, they're yours. And being able, and you have to know your worth in the situation. That's your job. Your job is, you're a stay-at-home mom, but your job is taking care of the kids and taking care of the house. Yeah. Your job, your salary is more than his, even though you don't see a salary coming in right now.
Right.
You're worth more than him going to work every day and paying the bills. So you have to still make yourself a priority in being a stay-at-home mom. Do not think that you're not worthy of that time. You're not worthy of your me time. You're not worthy of that momcation, you know, getting a hotel room for the weekend and telling them, do not bother me.
Right.
Let him. Those are his kids too. It's the same as if you were both going to work every day. He has to do his part. Yes, it's okay for him to rest, but you also have to rest. Your rest is different. You need to rest mentally and refuel mentally. Because if you don't, you're going to end up resenting him. You're going to end up resenting the kids. You're going to end up resenting the being at home and everything else that entails taking care of the house. You're going to end up in a very bad place. And so you have to put those things in place prior to and have those difficult conversations. Because I told my husband, I'm not going to be Susie Homemaker. This is not 1962. I am going to have my time.
Right. Absolutely.
So yes, yesterday he came home from work. I disappeared. I said, the kids are yours. I don't care if you give them a bath or not.
Where'd you go?
I just went in the garage and sat down and started playing my Nintendo Switch and listening to music.
Perfect. That's what I did. That's fun. Look, to just get away, right? Like, if it's the garage, that's great.
It was the garage. I had my Nintendo Switch. I love Animal Crossing. I tore down areas on my island. I rebuilt areas. And it gives you that. It slows everything down and it gives you that time for yourself. And I was out there for maybe an hour and a half, and he eventually came down once he put the kids to bed. But I had that time to myself. And even, you know, sometimes he like, wait, you've been here all day. And I've been dealing with your kids all day. Those are your crumb snatchers now. Those are your little broke best friends right now. For the next 2 hours, they're yours. They're not mine. They're yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first he had, you know, he had a little hesitation. But if it's like, okay, you still have power in being a stay-at-home mom. You're not powerless. You have the right to take your time and don't ask. You request.
Yeah, exactly.
This is my time. Put it on a calendar. My husband and I have a shared calendar with our iPad, our iPhone. I have a family calendar, and I block off mommy time. I do my mommy grooming. I do all those things, and I get my hair done. I still do all those things. I budget it out and say, this is mommy grooming time. And I may be back in an hour, I may be back in three. Who cares? I don't know. I'll let you know I'm fine, but those are your kids. That's your responsibility. I've clocked out. And it's okay to clock out.
It's okay.
It's okay.
And that's what moms need to realize, that it's okay. It's the kids are going to survive.
The dad's gonna survive.
The dad's gonna keep them alive.
It's okay if you don't feel like cooking dinner and you give them a bowl of cereal. They ate.
Yeah.
They'll
probably be happier too with a bowl of cereal. sugar.
Last Saturday or Sunday, my husband asked me what they had for lunch. I said Pop-Tarts. He was like, Pop-Tarts? I said, yep, you got a problem with it? If you do, we'll feed them something else. You should have came in here and fed them lunch. I did not feel like it. I'm tired. No. And they had Pop-Tarts. They're not hungry. And so it's okay to, they can have it every now and then. You don't have to cook a full course meal every night. It's just, especially when you've had one of those days, it makes it worse. And it's okay to have a glass of wine and go to sleep. I'll take me a shower and, you know, and sometimes I'll take some Benadryl and say, mom is going to sleep. And I'll get in bed and I close my door. And I said, they're your responsibilities for the rest of the night. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's okay. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You have to tell yourself it's okay. Even if you have to put a note, a big poster beside your bed when you wake up and say, it's okay. It's okay if they don't take a bath before they go to sleep. They've been in the house all day. Just wash them up, wash your face, brush your teeth, put their pajamas on, and get them, just go to bed. Just go to sleep. Do something. And just telling myself, it's okay. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. Just like you get tired of being at work when you clock in 9 to 5, you get tired of being a stay-at-home mom for a second. Mm-hmm. You want to just clock out. And mental health. And that's to say, you have to, mental health is a priority. No matter what you do, especially as a stay-at-home mom, your mental health is a priority. Because when you're sick mentally, everything else is sick. Everything else is sick. And there's no way, you know, it's different when you have a cold and trying to push through. You know, you can take some, you know, cold medicine and you know, treat the symptoms, but when you're not good mentally, you can't function. You're no good to anybody else, especially yourself.
Absolutely.
This is great, and I think every mother needs to hear this. Mm-hmm. Because we always think that we can do it all and we have to cook the meals and we have to do this with the kids. It's like, just chill. Like, they're going to be fine.
They're going to be fine. They are going to be fine. They're more resilient than we are.
Right.
And that's one thing I had to learn, especially with dealing with the postpartum depression. And my anxiety was, oh my God. I mean, pretty much at times paralyzing. And I was pushing. And you can only push so much.
Right.
Because you're going to get tired. And when you're tired, you really just want to check out. And me, that checking out was checking all the way out. I mean, that day when I realized that I could blow my brains out in my car with my kids and playing in the yard, I knew, like, and then really didn't. Because I felt as if that everybody would be better off without me, because I mean, I'm no good. I'm just a shell of existence right now. And so you really have to make that a priority, whether you're stay-at-home mom, especially when you're a stay-at-home mom, you know, working mom, and finding that balance. And life is about balance. And some days are going to be easier than others. Most days I'm good, and I have days when the 3-year-old little boy, he makes me want to push him out the window and catch him at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, I told him I was going to put him in a cardboard box and with some cereal and some water and mail him to somebody. I mean, they know I'm not going to do it, but I was like, dude, I'm going to put you in a cardboard box with some food and some water and just mail you somewhere.
The image of that in my head right now is hilarious.
Oh, I mean, you know, I've told them I'm going to put you in front of the yard with a for sale sign. But it's like, you know, I know I'm not going to do it, but
exactly.
I tell them, I was like, look, I'm going to put both of you in the front yard with a for sale sign with your bags.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's those days where I tell my husband, I was like, you're going to come get them. And sometimes it's just come get them. He can't come get them at that moment, but he knows when he gets home, they're
right. Yeah.
And yeah, he knows. And that's the communication, you know, having that communication with your spouse.
It's so,
you know,
important.
Letting them know when you need a break. Because if you don't get that break, you're going to be, the house is going to be, I mean.
Right.
No one is going to be safe.
Right.
But that's great that your husband knows that what he needs to do when he comes home.
Because you still have a voice as a mom. You still have a voice as a stay-at-home mom. Right. You still have needs. You still have those things. I have a voice. Mm-hmm. I'm not silenced because I'm a stay-at-home mom. No, I'm not. That's the important thing, is understand that you still have a voice.
Right.
And your job is literally probably more important than his. Yes, he's paying the bills, but you're making sure that he's healthy enough to go to work, you know, because you're mentally, you know, your mental health is good. His mental health is going to be good because his home, he's in a peaceful house. The house is at peace because he can come home to a peaceful house because I've taken the time to take care of myself.
Yes.
And it's okay if you give them their devices. For, you know, that hour, you say, hey, go to your room and watch. You can have your iPad. I'm going to sit here and watch my favorite TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't hear anybody crying. You don't hear any of that. And so that's what it's about. It's okay to make those decisions to better yourself or to take those moments for yourself.
What would you say is your favorite thing to do for self-care? Because I know you like to make yourself a priority, which is so important. Oh, what is your favorite thing to do?
I go and get a Brazilian. When I go and get a Brazilian. Oh, my God. When I go and I go that Saturday and I get my Brazilian, and it's like, that is one of the best forms of self-care. And I sit there and I chat it up with my esthetician and I feel like a brand new woman. When I walk out of there, I have a different pep in my step. and I come home even happier than
I left. And then all is well in the home.
All is well in the home. I mean, seriously, you know, there are days where I'll go to the chiropractor and I'll, you know, go get my Brazilian like during the week, or I would go, especially the days I'll go to my go do my acupuncture. I go and I mean, that is just a zen moment in itself. I go to my chiropractor and I'm loose. I'm rejuvenated, and I feel so, alive. Mm-hmm. And so it was funny. I had a hair appointment last Thursday, and my loctician was like, bring the kids. I was like, lies you tell, lies. All lies. And she sent back this crying laughing emoji.
That's
good. No, that is part of my me time. Lies you tell. I will see you at 4:00. No, I'm not coming early. My babysitter, grandpa, will be getting them at 3:30. I will see you at 4 by myself. But yeah, she was like, bring them. I haven't seen them in a while. Well, you will not see them. We will FaceTime you when I get back home. But lies, lies.
You can come to my house and see them, but you will not see them at your office.
But yeah, she knew that I was probably going to say something like that, but I told her quick, lies you tell, I'm not bringing it. No, this is my time. I'm with these little crumb snatchers 24/7. No, I'm going to not have to be a mom for the time that I'm there.
Right.
And, you know, being okay with that. No, I'm not bringing that. Yeah. No.
And that's another thing. Like, do you ever feel guilty? Because mom guilt is real. You don't feel guilty. How have you been able to get to that point of not feeling guilty?
It basically came with me through the healing process and really taking control of my mental health and making myself a priority and saying, okay, I have to be a priority. And by taking care of myself, I'm taking care of everybody else. And that's where the mom guilt just went out the door. Like, I used to be guilty when I didn't have vegetables or some well-balanced meal for every meal. No, okay. And really being okay with being okay, that life is not perfect. Everything is not going to be perfect. my son, he'll fall. And my husband was like, did you die? And I said, no.
That's great.
And, you know, we were like, well, mommy, I hurt my finger. Did you die? Is it bleeding? No. Well, you're okay. It just makes you stronger. And yeah. So.
That's hilarious.
And so it's those things. And, you know, okay, I really don't. We go outside and play. I don't run and get them every time they fall. You know, I still nurture them, but it's really, and I think it's, you know, it's good for your kids to see that you take care of yourself.
It is, yes.
And so I really don't. I used to be guilty because I don't spend, you know, my daughter said, Mom, come play the dolls with me. And I would feel guilty if I said, no, mommy's tired. Now I have that balance. We have our girl time. You know, I spend time with them individually and they, you know, they understand that I still need mommy time. You know, right. I wasn't always a mom and I can't lose myself. And so you set an example for your kids to know, you know what, my mom took care of herself. She took care of us, but she took time for herself. And that, and, you know, when my daughter becomes a mom, she'll understand that, okay, I have to take care of myself. I have to take time for myself. And so that's why I don't have mommy guilt. Because when you are trying to make everything perfect, then it takes the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm,
it's like, okay, life is not perfect. And so now my daughter even told my son, you know, he fell or something. She's like, well, did you die?
She's listening.
She's like, did you die? And so, I mean, I tell my kids, you know, get it together before I punch you in the throat. And they know I'm not going to punch them in the throat.
Right.
But it's like those things. And, you know, it's okay. I mean, they get the, it's a balance of discipline. It's a balance of fun. It's a balance of me taking care of me. You know, they know, okay, it's mommy and daddy time. Y'all going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give them some melatonin. Rub them down with some chamomile and put them to bed at 7 o'clock and you have some time with your spouse. It's like, you really have to find that balance. And so in finding that balance, I don't have mom guilt. And I tell them, I've been with you all day. I need some time for me. Go play by yourself. You have all those toys in there. I color with my daughter. We sit down and we color. I color with my son. They both want to color at the same time. I sit in the middle and I color apart with her picture and I color apart with his picture. And because I'm spending that quality time with them, they are not as needy. They still, you know, can be clingy at time. But when I tell them, I was like, look, I just did this. You know, we've been together. We've been playing together. We've been doing all this all day. You can go play with your brother. Don't, mommy doesn't want to play right now. Mommy's tired of coloring. And I have my own coloring book. I have my own coloring book and I have my own crayon. And they know, do not touch my coloring book. No, you cannot color with me in my coloring book because that is my place. That is, I color within the lines and I have a specific color. I color a certain way. You know, you have your coloring books. This is mine. And they know, like my daughter tells, Jet's messing with your crayons. He try to, you know, no, I'm not. And so you have to have your things. You have to have your space. I mean, I'll go in the bathroom and I'll stay in there for two hours. Lock my door. My husband's like, you're alive. Yep, I'm alive. I'll sit on the toilet, just sit there. Legs going numb and everything, not doing anything, just sitting there playing games and just having that me time. And they said, mommy, you've been in the shower so long. Oh, and mommy wanted to have some me time.
Yeah.
And I'm out here now. So what you want to do? And so, and that's the thing, really getting to that point. When you prioritize yourself, you really, it helps with the mommy guilt.
Yes.
Because when you're good, everybody else is good. And I start, you know, I feel guilty for not taking care of myself. It's not, you know, because I know my kids are taken care of. They have clothes to wear. They, you know, they're clean. They have a roof over their head. They're fed. You know, they're loved. They're cared for. They're nurtured. And so I feel guilty when I'm not taking care of myself because I'm not making sure that I am in the good mental space you know, mental space, physical space, spiritual space that I need to be in order to have a peaceful living environment.
Right.
And setting that example for my kids, especially my daughter, that it's okay to take care of yourself.
Yes.
And tell your kids that you're going to put them in a box with some food and water and mail them somewhere.
Right.
My son said, his uncle is a police. I'm going to call Uncle Poo on you and tell him to take you to jail because you said you're going to put me in a box. He's always telling me that he's going to call his uncle and tell him to take me to jail. I was like, I don't care.
Oh, my goodness.
But they know I'm not going to do that.
They know
I'm not going to do that. I love my babies. And they know I love them. And they fight over me. And they know when I say, no, it's Elle's time. You've had your mommy time. It's Elle's time. Well, Elle, you know, you've had your mommy time. It's Jet's time. And so really showing them and being an example of that balance, that set an example for them. And so I'm not consumed by being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am me first, then I'm a wife, and then I'm a mom. And that's the order it's going to remain. And I mean, you can either deal with it. I tell my husband, you know, you can be mad about it, but I'm not. You can just deal with it. Put your big boy pants on and deal with it.
I love this unapologetic. I love it. It's being unapologetic.
Like, okay, yeah, deal with it. What are you going to do? I have keys. I have a car. Bye. You can't leave the kids at home by themselves.
Right.
You're a parent right now.
Amen.
And just dip out. Just really, it's so rewarding when you're at this point of, I know I have to be good. Like, I have to be good in order for everything else to be good. And it's kind of like everything else is dependent on me, but it's a good thing because it's like, when I'm good, life is good, you know?
Right, when I'm good,
everybody in the house is happy. you know, there's peace and, you know, I'm not irritable. I'm not yelling at everybody. I'm loving on my husband and, you know, we have movie time. We do all these things and knowing that if I'm good, everything else is going to be good. When I'm bad, everything else is going to be bad. All hell is going to break loose.
Yeah.
And so it gives me enjoyment in knowing that, oh, I'm good. Mommy's had her time. Mommy's refueled. Mommy's just feeling good. And so I make my appointments say mommy time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my calendar says, mommy time. And I say, and I'll block off all day.
Good. Yes.
It's mommy time. I may not be gone all day. And now my husband, he switched to a different career and he's at home on weekends now. And so that is perfect because, oh, before he was only off on like Tuesdays and Sunday. And so now he's off on weekends and he get holidays off. And I was like, oh, this is so good.
Yes.
This is some good stuff. This is good stuff. Oh, I'm going to milk this train. I'm going to milk this cow. This is good stuff. He gets home earlier during the week. Oh, yes. Yes. He's going to have these little crumb snatchers. These are his kids for the next 2 hours. I am not a mom. My name is Dorcas. I'm Dorcas for the next 2 hours. I'm not mom. Yes. I'm not wife. Yep. I'm Dorcas. And it's funny because I tell them, you can't leave the kids at home by themselves. You have to be there. And it's like, because when you ask, it's like, okay, you know, and it's respect too, but he's like, when you just need your time, he's like, look, I'm gone. And he doesn't have anything to do. Just get in your keys and go. Get your keys and go. He can't leave them, so he has to. Or he can call his mom and tell her to get them. But that's not your problem at that moment. That is his. He has to work.
Too funny. Oh, I love how unapologetic you are about it. And I feel like you need to be speaking to groups and just at conferences to moms I really do, because so many moms do not have this wonderful attitude that you have.
Yes, just be unapologetic about taking care of yourself. You don't have to be sorry for taking care of yourself, because you're taking care of everybody else. Yeah. And you know, you do have three kids. When you have a spouse, add him to your list of children. Yes. Because he's very needy. He's very needy. Sometimes he's more needy than the kids are. You know, he can't find anything either. He can't think without you either. No, half the time he doesn't know what to put on. So, you know, without you, he couldn't operate. Your kids couldn't operate without you. And so you have an extra child when you're married. And so you have to sometimes treat him like I need me time.
Yep.
I need me time. And so being unapologetic, you know, just being unapologetic about taking care of yourself, because you are you before you were a wife, before you're a mother. You are you.
Amen.
And you have to be you even after you become a wife and even after you become a mom. Yeah. Because your identity is not based on being a wife and a mom. That's why it's so key to know your identity before you get married. You know, people say, well, when I get a husband, I'll be whole. No, baby, you have to be whole before you become a husband. Yeah. I mean, become a wife or a mom. Uh-huh. You have to be whole. You have to make sure that you are a priority. And that's the thing about it is I have to make sure that I am always whole. I am full. When I feel like my cup is getting too empty, I need to refuel.
Yep.
Because I can run off an empty tank. I cannot do it. I get my sleep. I leave them up. I go in my room and I lock the door. Yes, my husband knows how to get in there, but my kids do not. And that's it. I tell them, okay, it's period, not a semicolon. It's a period. And that's it. And so being unapologetic about taking care of you, that is so important. And yeah, like my kids, I want to watch this. You have TVs in your room. Bye. Bye.
Yeah.
That's why you have TVs in your room. Bye.
Amen.
And so, yeah.
Well, I thank you for coming on and sharing all this wisdom with us today. And I just wish you all the best. I wish you all the best in continued success with your book, because I'm sure it's going to bless so many people. So thank you so much.
You are more than welcome.
You have just listened to the Stay at Home Mom Yeah Right podcast with my mom. I hope you enjoy listening. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you liked it, please give it 5 stars. Thank you.